So what do you make of the allegation that that the governors and NESCO are sort of rushing to judgment, and that you in particular are a little too cozy with gas pipeline developers?
Well, it's sort of sad. I mean, it's, well, let me put it this way. I mean, people are entitled to their own views and their own interpretations. We've been working on this. When I say we, I say some combination of NESCO and Maine officials and the Maine legislature and, you know, ISO New England and NEPOOL and a gas electric coordination group that was set up by FERC. I've really been looking at this issue for at least 2 years. Indeed, even before the last couple years, winter price spikes, I'd had a member of my staff do an analysis of how much extra we were paying in New England for gas and how that was influencing the electricity prices. So there's nothing new about this. And, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people for a long time about it. So I think there's, you know, there has been ongoing examination. I think what's happened more recently, and I would say by more recently over the last 8 months or so, at the direction of the New England governors, and frankly, with the encouragement of a good portion of the New England delegation, we've been exploring ways to address a couple of critical issues that I think appear not to be being addressed at least quickly or satisfactorily by the market and the things that are in place. And in particular, that's the very substantial increases in electricity prices in the wholesale market that we're seeing as a result of gas pipeline constraints. And also the difficulty of bringing in sufficient renewable resources to satisfy some of the state's environmental carbon targets. So that's how all this, you know, evolved. I'll take a shot at the second question too. I mean, the efforts. I think some of the emails were quoted date back to 2012. I'm not quite sure when, but there was an effort that I was asked to participate in by some of the members of the Maine legislature to see how we could address Maine's issues with respect to energy generally. And that group, which was actually a group that included Mr. Buxton, but also include a representative of one of the environmental NGOs in Maine and a couple legislators and a couple other people were probably involved as well, met on a number of occasions to sort of struggle through what might be a good vehicle to address some of those issues. And what came out of that was legislation that did a couple of things. One, it gave the Maine Commission, through a fairly complicated process, the ability under some circumstances to execute a contract to increase pipeline capacity. And that's actually the proceeding that the CLF mentioned, you know, note mentions, that's proceeding that's now ongoing. But it also significantly increased the amount of resource devoted to energy efficiency in Maine. So overall, it was legislation that went through in a very positive way. But anyway, that's where the Tony Buxton context was. And in terms of the meetings with pipelines, I met with any number of pipelines, any number of other people, principally to gather some information on, you know, what their projects were. Some of them have been announced. We needed to get more detail about, you know, what they might cost, just as a way of getting information about them. So, yeah, absolutely, those meetings took place, as did meetings with a lot of other people on similar subjects.
So I think,
but, you know, to be frank, I mean, you know, candidly, the notion that somehow this is all, you know, for the benefit of Kinder Morgan, it would certainly be the case that if Kinder Morgan were ultimately selected by somebody to build additional pipeline, they would probably make some money off it. But I think the fundamental effort here, and I think it's reflected if someone were to read all those emails, is to figure out a way to address a problem that is currently costing electricity payers in New England, you know, several billion dollars a year.
And I think what CLF, it seems to me what they're most bent out of shape about is that they believe this problem can be solved without building pipelines. And this would be through, you know, allowing heating customers to sell firm capacity, you know, that they're not planning on using, that or that they forecast aren't going to use, or by, you know, allowing liquefied natural gas importers to supply demand.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's, you know, it's, I, you know, again, they can characterize things how they want. But I think those are things of which everybody in the group's been aware. These are all sort of public things. I think, and this is a context in which size matters. It's true that there are all kinds of efforts that should be undertaken on the efficiency side and on the demand response side, and some of these very interesting storage proposals of the kind you describe, where heating customers sort of sell it back. I mean, all those things are interesting. But I don't think, and obviously we're going to continue to look at this, but our preliminary view was they were vastly smaller in scale in terms of what was actually needed, certainly within time frame that we're looking at. So I think it's, you know, I think it's unfair to say that we just dismissed those. I think the answer was that people looked at them and said, you know, these are interesting. They should be pursued. We continue to put resources into them, but they're just not going to be anywhere near sufficient. The LNG side is slightly different. I mean, I think there are certainly opportunities. I think, frankly, for the next 2 or 3 years, it's going to be very important to be sure we have a sufficient LNG supply, because even if you built a, even if you signed a contract for a pipeline today, it wouldn't be in the ground for 3 or 4 years. But the difficulty with LNG is that it is not priced the way the gas coming out of the Marcellus Shale is priced. You know, the LNG is priced on an international market, and it's pretty expensive, you know, a multiple of 2 or 3 at least with respect to the gas price. And since the gas price drives the electricity price in New England, there's a pretty big multiplier in terms of cost. So, yeah, LNG could be part of a solution. I think our conclusion at this point is that it's not a sufficient or sufficiently inexpensive solution to be the one that we want to put into the ISO and NEPL and FERC process.
So do you think that this sort of release of documents and this sort of blast from the CLF, do you think it's going to change how the process works at all? Do you think it'll change the direction of the process at all? Or is this sort of steady as she goes?
Well, I can't say. I mean, you know, every piece of information that we get from any source, however politely or impolitely cast, is important. And so, you know, obviously we want to, you know, we take seriously what, you know, we, speaking for myself, but I think the group as well, you know, we want to see what people have to say. If people have something concrete they want to bring forward into the process, that's what these processes are for. I mean, one of the things that I think was kind of omitted from the CLF piece was that nothing that NESCO does is self-actuating. I mean, it's you know, NESCO is basically representatives of the governors of the 6 states getting together and putting together a proposal. But it's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and probably also state commissions and other state review processes that are going to actually make a decision about whether anything gets built. So, you know, I think there's nothing that I've seen to this point that suggests that NESCO should not continue to pursue the NEPL stakeholder process and the FERC process. But obviously, substantive things that people say are going to be important in our evaluation of, you know, what the ultimate proposal looks like, and certainly in terms of what ultimately might be approved.
So I think that's pretty much it. Am I missing anything? Are there any questions you want to answer that I didn't ask?
That's a fair question. No, you know, it's on themselves to insult me personally, but you know, it's the price of being a public servant, or trying to be a public servant. I think but I understand why feelings could run high in this matter. I think, you know, there are significant amounts of money at stake. I will point out that while it is true that the investments that we're talking about are in the billions of dollars, so are the excess costs that people are going to start paying very soon in their retail bills. So, you know, it's a big problem and may require a big solution. You know, I think I just encourage people to focus on, you know, I think it's important to focus on the merits of it. You know, I've got a pretty thick skin, so I mean, I think I don't think there was any intent by NESCO or any of us to say, you know, we're gonna exclude considering certain things, and we haven't. I think we just reached different conclusions about what their likely value is.
All right. Thanks very much for your time.
Sure thing.
Cheers.
Bye bye.